I hope it's easier to answer the question now about who was I, who am I, and who can I be now we've been going through this. It should be. But who are you? How do you choose to identify yourself? You ask most people the question, who are you? They will tell you their name. They might tell you something else about themselves. So if you're at a party and you don't know anybody there, which is a nightmare scenario. I just don't like being at a party where I don't know people. What's the first... Yeah, apart from the chickens. If you don't know any, what's the first thing you tell people? You often say your name, but then we often follow up with, well, what we do. What job do we do, maybe? Or the fact that we're married. Or, so if it was me, they'd speak to someone, say, my name's Paul, I'm married to Pam, I've got four children. Maybe I tell them I work for Grace Church or something like that. And that's the kind of thing we do. You see, we often identify ourselves by the people we're related to or our achievements or the job that we have. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that being a part of your identity, because it is a part of who you are. But what becomes a problem is if that is all we are and all we define ourselves as. You see, these things are part of us, but we've got to make sure that we know who we are outside of that. You see, what happens, for example, if I lost my job, if that is how I identify myself, then my job becomes my security. I've faced redundancy in the past, I don't know, I've lost count, 5, 6, 7 times, lots of times, never actually got made redundant, which is amazing, really. But you get to that point and you think, I am on a list with other people and they are going to choose between me and them. And if they choose that it's me that goes, what does that say about me? Is the thought process you go through. What is that? Does that say I'm not good enough? Obviously, there's the implication of money, but actually, I think there's a deeper implication if your whole identity is tied up in what you do rather than something outside of that. So who I am has to be backed up by something a lot more significant than what I do. We must be more than what we do. Unless, of course, what we do is more closely and legitimately connected to who we are. So if someone asked you the question, why do you do what you do? The answer should be, because that's who I am. Because then our actions come out of who we are rather than defining who we are. And in fact, the whole question of why we do what we do, we're going to be addressing in our next series. See, seamless link here. In January. So in January, we're going to start a new series from January to Easter, which we're just going to call Why. And it's about why we do the things we do. So we've looked this term at our identity and who we are. But because of who we are, what do we then do? So we'll look at things like the church. Why do we do that? Why are we part of the church? Well, actually, it's because of our identity in Christ. Why are we so concerned for the poor? Why should we be concerned for the poor? But, you know, that's a part of who we are. Why do we pray? Because of our identity in Christ. And so we're building on this with some of those questions, and there'll be other ones that we'll do as well. But the why... The answer to why we do things the way we do them is actually what we're doing today. We're talking today about being ambassadors. So we've done various different things over the last few weeks. We've looked at being in Christ, the fact that we're heavenly citizens. We've looked at that we're royalty and all these things. And today we're looking at some of the implications of that. And one of those, the main one I would say, is that we are ambassadors of Christ. And this is where our identity and our purpose combine. And this is what happens. This rather never changes, regardless of our circumstances. So if I lose my job, I am still an ambassador because I'm in Christ. I'm still an ambassador of Christ. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are around me, that doesn't change. And Paul in Ephesians, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, just going to look at a couple of verses from there for now. Ephesians 6, 19 to 20. And this was written by Paul, as you know, the book of Ephesians. And this is something he said about being an ambassador and the fact that this didn't change irrespective of his circumstances. And Paul said this, "Pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Paul was really clear about his purpose, about his mission. It was to preach the gospel, but it wasn't just something he did. It defined him. He called it the gospel for which I am an ambassador. It went right to the core of who he was. Even though at the time when he was writing, he says he was an ambassador in chains. He was in prison as he wrote this and as he said this. Now you might ask, well, Paul, how on earth are you an ambassador when you're locked away in a cell? How can you be an ambassador when you're there? You've taken a beating. You may have been close to losing your life. You're locked up. Who are you an ambassador to? The rats in the cell? What's going on? But the reason he said this was because he knew that it was at the core of his identity. That being an ambassador for him didn't change, even though his circumstances didn't look good at the time. He was still an ambassador. And he asked for prayer that he might preach even more boldly, despite the fact that preaching the gospel had got him into prison in the first place. He wanted to do more, and he wanted to do it more boldly. And if we'd asked Paul, why? I think he'd have said, because it's who I am. It was so wrapped up in his identity that he could not do anything else. He saw no conflict between the fact that he was in chains and the purpose of his life in Christ. He knew he had to be true to that. He had to stay in his purpose, in his identity. Even more than that, in Ephesians 3:1, he said he was a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. Nothing changed the fact that he knew who he was and he knew what he was doing. It got tough. He'd been beaten, but it didn't change the fact that he was a child of God. The prison walls didn't change the fact that he was still a heavenly citizen. The question is, what are we like when things are tough? Do we lose sight of our identity? Do we lose sight of our mission, our purpose, of who God has made us to be? When things get tough. When things get tough, I think our tendency is to start looking inward and look, and it's all of a sudden it becomes all about me. When life's hard, it's suddenly all about me. It's hard for me. I don't like this. I. And yet Paul was, no, I'm here on your behalf and I want to preach the gospel even more, because he just knew who he was and he knew his purpose. I think there are some things we can learn here from Paul. You see, he wasn't derailed by his circumstances. And I think sometimes we are. And we need to get an understanding of how Paul could stay so true to his calling and his identity even when things got tough. So we're going to look at that. And we're going to focus it around this word ambassador that Paul used, because it's a really helpful description about our calling and our focus and our mission. So we're going to look at what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. We're going to look at what ambassadors do, their identity and their function. So according to the dictionary, an ambassador is this: a diplomatic agent of the highest rank, accredited to a foreign government or sovereign, as the resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. You can already start to see there why Paul's used this word, because of some of the things we've already looked at. So we've looked at we're heavenly citizens. We looked at the fact that we are bringing the kingdom of God here on earth with us. And we'll look at that in some more, because, you know, ambassadors tend to reside in embassies. And we're going to look at that as well. So we're going to look at what ambassadors are using that dictionary definition and relate that to who we are and our purpose. So firstly, ambassadors are diplomatic agents. Sounds good, doesn't it? An agent. We're diplomatic agents. Now, an ambassador is an authorized representative of a sovereign, a monarch, or a government, as evidenced by a letter of credence from one head of state to another that accompanies that named individual. I got these. I didn't make these definitions up. I got these from elsewhere. And of course, Jesus faced this very question himself in John 8 about who he spoke on behalf of. See, an ambassador speaks on behalf of a monarch, a government, or a head of state. And Jesus in John 8, they asked him, where did he get this authority from? Who had sent him? Whose ambassador are you? Jesus was very clear. Jesus was sent by the Father. He was there representing the Father. He came on the authority of his Father, it tells us in John 8, 14 to 18. He came to do the work the Father had given him, it tells us in John 5, 36. And he came in the Father's name and did whatever the Father showed him, in John 5, 43. You see, Jesus is our model ambassador. And following the resurrection, he passed on that responsibility to his disciples and to us. John chapter 20, 21 and 22 says this, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So in the same way that Jesus was sent by the Father, Jesus has now sent us. This is the basis of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Jesus said, all authority on earth, in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. We're commissioned individually to represent him wherever we go and whatever we do. And this is literal in the sense that as we go, we become more like him. So not only has he sent us in his place, but we become more like him as we do it. We grow, we act like him, we talk like him, we behave like Jesus. We grow in that. And we're also commissioned corporately. Okay, so this is not just an individual thing, but it's a corporate thing as well. We, as the church, are the moving, growing, living body of Christ. We are the dwelling place of God on earth. That's what the Bible tells us. So through the church, the world must encounter God. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. Jesus commissioned us to do it. So we are his representatives on earth. And if people want to know God, they're only going to hear it from us. No one else is going to tell them. That was God's plan. So, what else are ambassadors? Well, ambassadors have the highest rank, it tells us. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat in a particular embassy representing their state. The British ambassador, for example, in a foreign state, represents the Queen and the British government in whatever country they happen to be appointed to. And they are trusted to deliver the British powers and interests in that country. They are authorised and deputised to do whatever's needed for the interests of the country they are there on behalf of. They have the full power of the state behind them. Our position is very high. As we've seen, we are adopted into God's family and we are royalty. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are part of the royal family. We have a high and privileged position. We have the ear of the king. And we are his authorised representative with all of his power and authority behind us, just as an earthly ambassador has from their nation. We are backed up by the whole of heaven. We act in the name of Jesus. So, for example, in Acts 3, verse 6, Peter said to a guy who'd asked him for silver and gold. He was begging. And he said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." When you speak or pray in the name of Jesus, you are acting as an ambassador. You're not just using a name as a formula, but you're acting with the full authority of Jesus, because you are his representative here on earth. There were some Jews who, in Acts 19, who hadn't quite grasped what this meant, and they thought that invoking the name of Jesus was just going to make things happen. It was like a magic word. And in Acts 19, I'll read you this, it says that, verse 13, "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus who Paul proclaims.' Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?' And the man in whom was the evil spirit leapt on them, mastered all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." We are not in that position because we know Jesus. We know who, not just who he is, but we know him. And we are his representatives, and we have all of the authority that he had on earth because he's given it to us. He said, "It's all mine, therefore go." We go in that authority. And so we act on his behalf. We are his ambassadors. Ambassadors represent a foreign government. So whichever nation that ambassador is in, they are representing the foreign nation that they belong to. And we saw last week that we're heavenly citizens, so we're citizens of another nation, and we're here on behalf of that other nation, of that kingdom. Our government is not of this world. Remember, we looked at having a passport as a heavenly citizen, and I forgot to bring my passport as an example, and someone just happened to have a passport on them, which was great. But we have that passport that says we are heavenly citizens. What is our passport? It's knowing Jesus. That's our passport. He's the one in whom who gives us that authority. We're heavenly citizens. We're not of this world, but we carry the blessings and the privileges of that nation into the nation we're in, namely this earth. But the nation we represent, the nation that is really our home, there's no sickness there, but we are authorised to heal the sick in this nation. There are no demons there, and we are authorised here where there are to cast out demons when we see them. You see, we have that authority. We're allowed to bring what we have in the nation that we belong to here on earth. And you'll remember, as we talked about that a previous time, we said, how much of that can we bring here now? How much is not yet and how much is now? And the conclusion we came to was, well, we don't really know, but we'll take whatever we can get, thank you very much. We will just pray for people to be healed. We will pray for demons to flee. We will pray for people to be saved. We will see that. We will want that. And we will ask God for as much as possible of all of that here on earth now. We will bring what we have from our home kingdom to this kingdom on earth. And we're charged with setting up new territories for this kingdom. Embassies. Embassies all over the world and throughout all time, called the church. This is like an embassy. This is an embassy of God's kingdom. This is where people encounter the rule and reign of God. If you visited an embassy, went into Birmingham and you visited the Indian High Commission, as you walked through the door, you'd be greeted, "Welcome to India." And you'd also be greeted by a man with a machine gun, probably, as well, because they guard the place. But actually, you would then be stepping onto Indian territory. It belongs to them. It is a little bit of theirs. And it's all of their rule and authority is in that place, even though all around it in the jewellery quarter is Birmingham and all the laws of this land. Actually, in that embassy, English law doesn't apply. It's all their laws, and that goes with every embassy. Just like the church comes together to bring the rule and the reign of God here on earth. That is why we're here. That is why we plant churches. That is why we're called to plant churches in this nation and other nations, because we're taking the kingdom with us and we're seeing it extend and expand. That is why we want to see people saved and added, because we want them to be part of that kingdom. We want them to join that embassy. I do find it hard to understand why some people think they can be a Christian and not be part of a church, not be part of a fully functioning and committed part of the local church. It doesn't make any sense, because you want to be where the rule and reign of our King is. It just doesn't make sense. This embassy that we're in here is a good place to be. It's a helpful place to be. It's a place where we can be encouraged, built up and sent out. We're not perfect. None of us are. And things don't always go right in relationships and things that happen. But one day, it will all be perfect. And what little reflection there is of this in terms of heaven on earth, we will be there fully. As we sang in that song, it'll all be there. We will be there. But this at the moment is just that small part of God's kingdom on earth. And there's lots of them dotted all around the world. Embassies of his kingdom. So what else is an ambassador? An ambassador is on a special temporary assignment. An ambassador serves at the pleasure of their government, and they can be recalled at any time, and they can be reassigned elsewhere. And we are all on temporary assignment. So if you know anything about mine and Pam's history, we've been assigned to various places, if we talk in that terminology. So we were in a church down in Bracknell when we got married. Then we felt God say, time up here, time to move and be part of a church plant in Birmingham. And then when we'd been there for a while, God said again, time to move, time, I'm reassigning you. Here in Bromsgrove, time to church plant. And we came to Bromsgrove with others. You know, there are others here who have done the same. And there are some of you that will do that in other places. We know that we're a people on the move. We plant churches. That doesn't mean everybody travels. Some people are called to an area and stay in that area. But actually, for all of us, it's at God's request. We need to be constantly looking to God and saying, God is still here. Yep, still here. Great. Until he reassigns us. Just like an ambassador, we're on temporary assignment. But of course, on this earth in total, for our lives, we are on temporary assignment, because there comes a time when God says, your mission is complete, I'm recalling you to your home nation, and we go to heaven. And that will either be when Jesus returns or we die here, but we get recalled to our home nation and we dwell with him, with God forever. We're all on loan to earth for as long as God wants us here, until our part of his mission is completed. I sometimes think, if my part of the mission is not completed, does that make me indestructible? A silly thought, but I've often thought that. I'm not the only one. That's always reassuring. I think it might be someone here who's not in this room at the moment who isn't that keen on flying. And when he gets on a plane, he just tries to remember all the prophetic words that he feels are unfulfilled. He does, doesn't he? Yeah. And says, all right, the plane's going to be okay because I've got unfulfilled prophetic words over me. I think that's a great way to overcome fear of flying. Let's just hope they were accurate. He's not in here, so I don't know. But actually, we've all got a part to play. God has put us in a particular place. He's put us here, as it were, in this embassy, in this church, in this town, to be part of his mission, to be ambassadors for him in this town. So that's some of the things that that ambassadors are. But very briefly, what do ambassadors do? Well, we've had some hints of that, but in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul really spells it out. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, he says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Our primary role as ambassadors is that God brings reconciliation through us to the world. Paul calls it our ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means bringing people back into a relationship with God. That's our mission. That's what ambassadors do. We are representing God and we are bringing peace to the world, reconciliation to the world. And so, in ambassadorial language, it is like this. Heaven has pronounced war on sin and darkness. The wrath of God will one day be revealed against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. That's from Romans. Every human being that lives or has ever lived will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Those who are not reconciled to God are in terrible, terrible danger. And so before that great and terrible time, God appeals to mankind through every one of us, his ambassadors on earth. And the appeal is for people to get right with God. As ambassadors of his kingdom, we are authorized to offer terms of a peace agreement. There is a war raging and we are the peace troops. We are the ones going in offering a peace treaty, saying there is a peace treaty from God and we are authorized to bring that to you, that you can be reconciled to God. That's why we're here. We are here to declare that God wants reconciliation with people. There's no other reason. There's no other reason but actually being on that mission. Jesus has paid the debt. The gap of reconciliation has been bridged by him. Jesus has made a way back to God through his blood. And here are his terms. Repent, turn away from your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's no negotiation from heaven because the war's already been won. Those are the terms of peace. That is the peace treaty. And every human being needs to hear it. And as ambassadors of his kingdom, it is down to us to tell people. It is our privilege and it's our responsibility to tell people these are the terms of peace with God. What this means as ambassadors is that we can legitimately go to someone who doesn't believe and say, "You've sinned. You will certainly face God's wrath. There's a huge gulf between you and God, and you're guilty, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I come with terms from heaven. I am authorized to offer you peace. Let me introduce you to the king I represent. He wants you in his kingdom, and he wants you there now." That's how we go out. That's what we do. We're his ambassadors, and we offer peace. Again, there's a question here. Is that what you're doing? Is that what I'm doing? Is that what we're doing? Are we going and offering people those terms of peace between them and God? Because actually, why do we do it? It's because that's who we are. That is where the who we are and what we do come together. And because of our identity, because we are in Christ, because we are heavenly citizens, because we're his royal people, we are therefore his ambassadors to go out into the nation, the town, the nation, the nations, and offer peace and offer reconciliation from God. It's through our words, our actions, our lives, our testimonies, through everything that we are, through all that we were, all that we can become. We are the living, breathing example of the goodness of God. It's very strange saying some of these phrases because they sound like we're really bigging one another up. You're the living, breathing example of the goodness of God. Now, first thing, tomorrow morning, I will be going to Morrison's about 8:10, do the weekly shop, try and get back by about 9:15 and then get off to the office. When I'm in Morrison's, I don't feel like a living, breathing example of the goodness of God. Because I'm bombing round, I'm getting cross with anyone who's slow. Don't push a slow trolley in front of me, because I'm going to run you down, because I'm here on a mission. I want to get in, get out, get the shopping done, because I don't like being there particularly. But, job needs doing. However, when I am there, I am the living, breathing example of the goodness of God. Why? Because he saved me and finds me now acceptable in his sight. Why? Because he died for me. Why? Because he's clothed me with righteousness. Why? Because I'm adopted into his family. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am royalty. As we said when we looked at royalty, don't you know who I am? I'm royalty. I'm God's. I belong to him. It's fantastic. But we don't always feel like it. But guess what? Our feelings don't change it. Because it's a fact. It doesn't matter whether we feel like it or not. It's who we are. It's who God's made us. Now, we want to communicate that with grace. I'm not going to go into Morrison's tomorrow and go, don't you know who I am? I'm not going to do it. Doesn't matter how... It doesn't matter how big the gift day total gets. I am not doing that. I want to be able to go in there again. Well, I sort of do, but... If you're here next week, then I'm now shopping in a different supermarket. You'll know why. But actually, we communicate this with grace, with gentleness, but with a certainty and an authority in who we are. We are his ambassadors. And if we don't tell people, who else will? It is our job. It is down to us. Why? Because it's who we are. That's the way it is. So what's stopping you? What's stopping us from communicating that? Maybe nothing. Maybe you are communicating that. I was with a friend riding last week. I've been bike riding with him for just over a year now, and he's not Christian, and I'm thinking, I just haven't managed to get the conversation around, partly because we're out of breath a lot of the time. I normally speak to him on a hill because he can't answer back then. But this week I had the opportunity to talk to him. He talked about a science program he'd seen and about how Brian Cox had talked about the reasons for our existence. And it was either this or this. And I said, I thought, here's my moment, finally. I said, there's another option, that it was designed that way, that God made it that way, that actually we've got a creator who put it there. I said, yeah, it might have happened this way, but that's just a description of what God's done. And it was a really interesting discussion. That's as far as it went, but that was a breakthrough. We need to be doing this. We need to be telling people. Now, I should have kept that for next week for our time of testimonies. I might say it again. I might have another one by then, yeah. Yes. That would be great. Pray for me. But that's what we need to be doing. We mustn't let this stop us. And this is not so we can just tell stories. We tell stories to encourage one another. But this is because the people we're telling are in mortal danger. And we need to be telling them, you need peace with God. It's the only way. It's good news. And we need the confidence and the desire to tell others. And I think when we understand who we are, then we get that right. So as we finish now, let's get practical. Three simple ways in which we can exercise our ambassadorial authority. Somebody asked me if I was going to use big words today. I said, no, that's a long word. It's a good job it's the only one. How can we exercise our ambassadorial authority? How can we be ambassadors? Number one of three, pray for family, friends, and the world to be reconciled to God. We've got to pray. We've got to pray for our friends. We've got to pray for our family, for those who don't know Jesus. We need to pray. Pray for opportunities to talk. Pray that God will open their hearts, because we've got good news for them. It's just good news. And we long for them to be reconciled to God and know it like we do. Number two, share our stories with others. And we're going to be doing that next week. Our testimony has incredible power. Not just here, because actually when we share it here, it encourages one another. But actually share your story of how Jesus met you with others. You know, we can get into arguments about science and about this and about that and the other. You tell your story, there's no disputing it. If God's done that for you, he's done that for you. It doesn't matter what anybody else says in one sense, really. It's your testimony. It's what God's done. It's proof. Share our stories. Number three, display the love of God to the world. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." None of this is any good without love. We need to love people. We need to be motivated by our love for people, our concern for them, their welfare, their eternal welfare. It needs to motivate us. And if you're struggling with that motivation, ask God to reveal some of his compassion for them to you. Ask God, "God, let me see them as you see them, the way you love them, the way you just seek after them." We need to love them. We are ambassadors for God in the ministry of reconciliation. There's one more thing I want to do. I want us in a moment to stand together, and I want us to pray, or I want to pray. You see, in John 20:21-22, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So we're sent, okay? Being here, we're sent by God to be here. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We can't do anything without the power of the Spirit, without his power enabling us, without him speaking to us. And so I want us to stand just for a couple of minutes in the presence of God and say, "Holy Spirit, just come on us. Come on us." He's with you. He's already given you the power, actually. But sometimes we just need to stand and re-see that, if you like, and say, "Yeah, God, I acknowledge that and I will act in that." So let's stand together. Here's what I want you to do. The Bible often talks about the Holy Spirit as a gift to us. And with Christmas coming soon, yeah, it's going to be good. Not allowed to talk to Christmas until December. Talk about Christmas till December, but I'm making an exception just for this few minutes. With Christmas coming, when you give a present to someone, they don't stand there. And you're not going to receive a present when it's just going to fall on the floor. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's more than that. But actually, sometimes what we need to do is just, there's a step of faith sometimes by holding out our hands to receive a gift, to receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any difference to the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it just displays an attitude of heart. And so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to say, if you're standing there saying, "Yeah, Holy Spirit, just breathe on me again, recommission me, send me out, give me those conversations, let me be your ambassador," then I'd encourage you, just hold your hands out in front of you. Be ready to receive him, because actually the Bible says, you ask, you will receive. And that's very simple. And so let's pray and just ask. Holy Spirit, I pray you will come to us now, come upon us now, and breathe that new life into us, that new impetus to be able to share our faith, to be your ambassadors, to be the people that take your kingdom out into our workplaces, our schools, our colleges, wherever we are. the shopping centres, the, wherever we are, that we are your ambassadors there. So, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. As Jesus said when he breathed out that the Holy Spirit would be on us, that you will be on us again, afresh, and you will give us that impetus to be sharing our faith, to be your ambassadors. We want to do that, Lord Jesus. We want to do that. So come upon us, I pray, as we receive you gladly and say, just help us to live in your power that you have already given us, to go in your power and to go in the knowledge that we take you with us, your authority, the kingdom of heaven, and that we come as the high-ranking officials in your kingdom with that offer of peace, those terms of peace. We go out with that peace treaty. Father God, I pray that as we come back here next week to share stories and testimonies, you will have given us such amazing encounters with other people and with you that we will be able to share. We will be able to say, yeah, God did this. I had this conversation. I was an ambassador in this way. Lord, help us to be who you've called us to be. Help us to just know who we are in you. Reinforce it, Lord Jesus, as we've looked at it over these past few weeks. You are so good to us. You give us so much, and we want to share that with others. Amen.